That gospel that you've just heard is the second time you've heard it this year. For those who were here for Easter or our Lenten journey, that gospel is read on the second Sunday of Lent. Transfiguration is always used during the Lenten journey towards the beginning, the second Sunday. Matthew, when he puts his composition of the Transfiguration together, he has a slightly different intent than does Mark and Luke. There is no record of the Transfiguration in John's account, because the Transfiguration is about demonstrating the glory of God, and John's whole gospel is about the glory of God. So if we look at this event, which took place, very clearly it took place, because if you reread the second reading from St. Peter, you get his witness account of the Transfiguration. Now, what Matthew does, as he does with most of his gospel, is he makes sure that the audience connect to the history of who Jesus is. So the Old Testament, as we know it, but we can say the journey, the salvation history of the Jewish people, is always what Matthew links Jesus to. And in the Transfiguration, there are many, many links in Matthew's account. The first would be actually in a sentence that isn't in that gospel that you heard today, but it's a sentence that comes just before it. And it says, 6 days later, Jesus went up the mountain. 6 days. Now, that 6 days is the reference to the feast of what the Jews know as Tabernacles. The Feast of Tabernacles took place 6 days after the what they call Yom Kippur. So the Feast of Atonement. And that Atonement feast went for a whole week of fasting. And then they had the Feast of Tabernacles. Atonement was the celebration of the escaping of Egypt, the Exodus. And then the Feast of Tabernacles. Tabernacles means tent, essentially. The Feast of Tabernacles was the giving of the commandments to Moses. So Tabernacles gets mentioned, and the translation in the original Greek that Peter uses when he says, it's wonderful for us to be here, would you like me to build three tents? It's actually, would you like me to build three tabernacles? So once again, Matthew has linked the old with this event. Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem. He's journeying to Jerusalem when this takes place. So this is certainly an event. It's an occasion that takes place, but it's also an opportunity. And that's what I would like you to think about this morning as we contemplate, well, what's the meaning of the Transfiguration for me today? It is an event in time. Think of the events in time in your own life. And what do we do with those events? How do we seize that opportunity? Be it a good event or a not so good event, what do we do about using it as an opportunity? Jesus takes this time in typical old-fashioned or the Old Testament biblical sense. A mountain's used, something's going to happen with God. And then we also hear that Moses and Elijah are there. Moses represents the law always. Elijah always represents the prophets. He was known as the greatest of the prophets. That's the Old Testament. And then we're told that Jesus takes Peter, James and John with him. Now, why would he do that? Thomas Aquinas tells us that I had to get a Dominican in. Thomas Aquinas, a famous Dominican, because this is the feast week of St. Dominic. Thomas Aquinas tells us that in his view, Jesus took Peter with him because Peter professed his love to Jesus 3 times. Do you love me, Peter? Yes, Lord, you know I love you, he says. Then feed my sheep. 3 times. So Thomas says that Peter is there because he is the disciple that professed his love to Jesus the most. And that makes sense. John is there because all through the scriptures we're told the disciple Jesus loved. That is John. Several times it's mentioned, the disciple Jesus loved. If Peter is the disciple who loved Jesus the most, John is the disciple whom Jesus loved the most. So those two are there because of relationship. And that's what I would like you to think about when you think of the occasions, the events that happened during your year, your life, about the relationships that are in that occasion, in that event. And then what do we do with the opportunity with those relationships at that time? So that just leaves James. Why was James there? St. Thomas Aquinas tells us that James was there because James is the first of the apostles to die. He was beheaded by Herod. The first of the apostles to die. The one that would become the first martyr of the apostles. The one that would give his life for the faith. So that is the strength of the relationship, even when Jesus wasn't there physically. So there's how much do we love Jesus? How much do we experience in our life the love of Jesus? And what are we prepared to invest, to put into this relationship? That's what those three apostles mean for us. Our love for Jesus, Jesus' love for us. And what am I doing with it? In terms of this year that we're about to enter into this week, Archbishop Christopher has called this a year of the Holy Spirit. And in that year, in this year ahead, we're finishing the year of walking together, and in this year of the Holy Spirit, we will be preparing to have an archdiocesan assembly, and from that will come an archdiocesan pastoral council. But the Archbishop is very keen to make sure that we walk together and that we stop and listen. Words from today's gospel. And the other thing that is interesting with the Archbishop's vision is that in the gospel it says, and when they raised their eyes, they saw no one but only Jesus. Archbishop Christopher's episcopal motto is only Jesus. So these things, even in the events that unfold in our local life, they do have connections, and opportunities are created for us. In this event, the opportunity was there for healing as well. We're told that Jesus leant down and said to them, "Don't be afraid." And he touched them. Jesus touching is healing. He then says, "Get up." The word that's used in the original translation is the same word that we use for resurrection. Jesus initiates this relationship, we respond. And what he gives us in this relationship is both healing and our eternal life in the glory of God, resurrection. The Transfiguration is packed with very powerful and beautiful symbols. They remain just words on the page unless we can bring them into our own life. So we're not going to be like Peter, who in one sense wanted to build a tent to capture the moment and keep everybody there. No, our life journeys on. It unfolds daily, hourly, through every minute. And in that, those events that make up what our life is, we look for the opportunity and we seize the moment. They were on their way to Jerusalem. So it was at this time Jesus prepared them and gave them a small taste of the glory of God. And the way that Matthew has done that is the glory of God is revealed from things of the past, things of the present, and things of the future. God's glory is revealed to us through an encounter, through becoming a disciple, and then being a missionary. We encounter Jesus during the course of our life. We become a follower. That's what disciple means. And then we become a missionary. So what do we do after we have had that encounter? and that is the missionary aspect of this year ahead. I encourage you to think back during the journey of your life, and as your life is unfolding, the plans that you have coming ahead for you and your family, what opportunities are there for you to demonstrate your love of God, to be open to his love for you.